This is The Mary Davis Show, a program that takes an inside look at what is happening in Western New York with interviews, news, special features, and the community calendar. Now, here is your host, Mary Davis.
Good morning and welcome. I'm your host, Mary Davis. And the show, of course, is The Mary Davis Show. This morning, we're going to be doing a one-on-one. And my guest this morning is the Honorable Betty Jean Grant. She is with the Erie County Legislature. In fact, she's a minority leader of that bar. And we're going to talk about a rally. One of the things we're going to talk about this morning is a rally that they had last Saturday for, it was Peace, Justice, and Jobs was the title of the rally.
Peace, Justice, Job, and Respect.
And as we've seen that, there's going to have to be a lot of that. But the one thing, before even starting off, because you've been here a while, and we know what these cities, I didn't realize how much money a lot of these localities are paying out for police misconduct with people. And here, I guess, Baltimore, as well as Cleveland, have paid out millions of dollars. And it was only, I think, last year or year before this, I found out Buffalo has paid out a chunk of money, too, over the years because of people suing the police.
Right. And you know, Mary, and when I was a council member, I had access to that because I was on the Civil Service Commission as well as another committee that dealt with paying out of settlements that people sued the city of Buffalo. And I was shocked to see how many of those suits had been initiated and settled, because once it's settled, it doesn't go to the council member. Once the claimant and the city has come to an agreement, then that is settled out of court, and it's without councilman involvement. Once the claimant has agreed to that money, that figure, then it comes to us to approve. But, you know, there's almost automatic approval because the city of Buffalo is self-insured as the county of Erie.
So then, and I forget who it was that when told me this. I believe it was Beverly Gray who was telling me this at one time, that City of Buffalo had paid out millions of dollars. And I guess the thought only came to me recently with this verdict in Cleveland. And when they were talking about how much money different ones, some state representatives were talking about how much money that Cleveland had had to pay out. And now they have to do all this restructuring. And because the Justice Department is just on their behinds like a mosquito is on somebody out in the woods someplace. And they're talking about they may not have the money to do it, that they've already paid out millions of dollars in these claims as it is.
Right, and that's the fact that when a person is an employee of a municipality or county, he is covered under that county. So whether he has engaged in willful misconduct, or whether he accidentally, you know, killed somebody or intentionally killed somebody, once that suit is put in, the city of Buffalo or the county or wherever it is liable. Because as long as there's an employee of that particular that municipality or county, then the agency that hires him is responsible for any misconduct on his part. You know, I thought it'd be great if you have known instances of police brutality and you could go after that employee's personal insurance, but you can't. Because as long as they're wearing the badge of the city or the county and wearing a uniform, they're covered under that person.
Good grief. You know, that when you think of the money, and when they talk about Cleveland was nearly broke behind this police. But, you know, another thing that really got me, I don't know if this is true for Buffalo, if you can remember even the time when you were yourself on the city council. They had not even, like, the little 12-year-old that the cop shot, Tamir Rice. She's 12 years old. And come to find out that this man had been fired from his last police job and said that there was no amount of training you could do for him. He sounded to me like almost a sociopath. Why in the world would you hire and give somebody a gun when another police department has told you that there's no amount of training you can do with this guy? None. Why would you hire somebody like that?
It's such a shame. And you know, until cities and villages and towns monitor their people they're hiring, you're going to have
personnel,
Buffalo. But you're going to have every area is going to be responsible for these misconduct among these individuals.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about the man that I never get her first name. She has the most unusual name of pronouncing her first name, Caroa.
Cario.
Cario. And she was trying to stop him from killing this man, only find when they looked at his record, my God, he had more complaints against him than the law. Why would they keep such a, why would a person like that be allowed to be on the police force in the first place and handed a badge and a gun?
Because it's hard for the police department to accept the fact that one of the officers have engaged in willful misconduct.
I mean, the man had a terrible record.
But even if they know it, it's that blue, that cold blue, that cold silence that you have to go along with what is in place. And that's why.
But what I'm trying to say, Betty, is that this man, when he was hired, had a record.
Right.
He had a record. Oh, well, did anybody ever read his personnel file?
I'm not sure he had a record when he was hired, Mayor, so I'm not going to agree to that. But I do know that while he was in uniform, before he was, you know, actually asked to retire, he was engaged in several incidents that couldn't be construed as misconduct, official misconduct.
Yeah. I said, my good grief, you know, what is wrong with these people?
Well, they continue, you know, have act as such, and when people make allegations, it's kind of hard to prove. Because, number one, the only witness you have to the misconduct might, in fact, be another police officer. And so he's not going to, you know, for lack of a better word, rat on his colleague.
Yeah.
Carrier did the exception. Carrier put the personal safety of an individual she was sworn to protect and serve.
Mm-hmm.
She put his safety above her consideration.
Yeah.
She might be going against the grain and going against her colleague.
Because if she hadn't have interfered with that cop that night, he would have killed that man. He was trying to kill him.
Well, I don't know if he's trying to kill him, but I know he had put him in a chokehold that could have potentially led to his death. To say that he did it on purpose, I'm not going to be willing to say that.
Well, maybe you won't, but I am. It would seem to me as though a person putting you, just like that officer that killed that man in Staten Island, you know, they know these things can kill. And most of the time, they're illegal to use. They're illegal. These chokeholds are illegal to use because of the very thing that they can be a death hole. They know that.
But like in New York City, the Eric Garner case, there were more than one officer there. And so those who were not participating in restraining him, and if he had been strained to go into a chokehold, those are the ones who could have said, you know, he's properly restrained, you know.
Stop. No one said stop.
But according to what we've seen on tape, I don't think anybody stepped in.
Nobody
to,
did.
To gauge the situation, even though he was saying, I can't breathe.
I can't breathe. And this is what's really, what people are finding it so hard to do, because there are black ones and brown ones, along with white ones in there. It just goes to show that you get into a culture, and it's just like in the Second World War, you know, where there were Jewish people in the Second World War that worked for the Nazis, called capos.
Right.
And they were the ones that managed or worked in these concentration camps. And ratted on their own people and even helped kill their own people. And a lot of times people hate to say it or think it, but there are black people that do it too.
Right.
And because I just can't get over the fact that there were black officers and brown ones in these situations who do nothing. They help kill their own people. And it a lot of times people don't want to own up to that or have to face that. And I know how it must have been for a lot of Jewish people to have to look at some of their brethren and say, no, you're a murderer. You did bad things.
Yeah, that's true.
You did bad things, and you need to be punished for it. And it's the same, I think, a lot of times here. You know, when I'm looking at these officers, many of them who took part in these things.
Right. You know what? And also, I think, too, and I don't know whether you had any of the council member on your show or not, because if you look at how government works, the body that duty responsible for the police department is the council members. You know, they have they're charged with approving the confirmation of the person selected by the mayor to be the police commissioner. They also approve, I think, on the civil service, allow the hire of the police officer. And as well as that, they approve the lawsuit on behalf of the city when many of these officers have engaged in misconduct. And also, in addition, they have a police oversight. So I really don't feel too comfortable talking about the Buffalo Police Department.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about the Sheriff's Department, that's a different story.
Mm-hmm.
But you probably need somebody on from the common council.
I'm just thinking about your days when you were on the, because those issues probably were there even when you were on the council yourself. You moved up from there. You moved from the city to the county.
I know we approved one lawsuit within 4 years, but prior to me coming in, there's many cases, high profile, the Richard Long case. I'm sure that the
Were you there at that time? Were you on the city council at the time of the Richard Long case?
No, not Richard Long, and not even the Mark Virginia case. Those are the two cases that come to mind has been most prominent and a lot of conversation geared on. I was not on before.
Probably a lot of money was out there too. Well, I would imagine that the same procedures prevail at the county as far as procedures go when they're faced with this.
Well, since it's
must be similar.
The county sheriff does not patrol Buffalo, and so therefore, most of the arrests the county sheriff department do has happened outside of Buffalo. Of course, when they're arrested, a city Buffalo resident or whatever, they're taken to the Erie County Holding Center, even those who arrested who live in Cheektowaga, until they go, you know, held for trial. What is Holding Center? So the most complaints I've had from the sheriff department.
Probably the county jail.
Access to the phone revenue, whereas their family called them, make telephone calls, and they charge as much as $6 to $12 an hour. I know because my niece called me, and she was incarcerated, and I wound up having to pay $12 for a two-minute phone call. So that money's been spent on equipment and the upkeep of the holding center as opposed to the prisoner. So I get most of my calls believing that if their family has generated that money, they should be using that as an, you know, upgrade their holding center where they live.
Right, their living condition, the environment.
Or recreation, or have maybe job training or computer training programs there. So that's our biggest complaint.
Except the sheriff is buying stuff for the department, new cars and different other things.
Right. It's not the police abuse. But it is the
misappropriation. I guess a lot of people say just misappropriation of funds.
Right.
But you know, something else that, now that you mentioned it, I hadn't even thought about this until just now. And that's a big thing because Karima Aman was saying this about when they were out there demonstrating about the abuses that go on in the county jail. I would imagine there's been a lot of disputes about that because I know that there were several agencies, federal and state, that were after the county, the sheriff's department, about the abuse that was going on in the Erie County Holding Center.
Right.
The suicides and different other things.
Dying, you know, whether it's suicide or them questionable death. So the county has been brought up on people when they commit suicide that it is, in fact, you know, suicide or is anything else going on. So, yeah, they had protests a lot on the high number, the high number of suicide in Erie County. I think you look at the high number, I think we were first in the nation.
How many suicides about were there? I guess if it's a high number, we're talking probably something more than five.
Pardon me?
I thought if we say high number, I assume that we're talking about numbers greater than five.
I think 1 year we had 12.
Yeah.
I mean, it was the highest, I think, in that particular reporting period in the nation. So that's why the Department of Justice looked at it and did, in fact, ascertain that we did have a high number. And then again, allegation under Collins' administration was that this holding center was not a country club that people are good at due time, but also we fell to
realize. But you still have to people humanely, you know.
Yeah, the people in the holding center have not been arrested. Arrested, they have not been
charged
with
anything.
There's a presumption of innocence to proving guilty.
But instead, it seems like the presumption is you're guilty until you prove yourself innocent.
Is in here, so you must have done something. Must be guilty, so we're going to treat you like you already been convicted. And so that's why the judge stepped in, too, because they were not being looked at from the people who were guarding them from some mindset.
As human beings deserving of respect is what it was.
Guilty.
This is really something, because I'm thinking, it's popular. I know that you're one of the popular Erie County legislators. I'm not trying to disparage any other, but I know that your office gets calls from all over the county, people not even in your district.
Yes.
I call. So you probably hear a lot about this. I imagine that it probably amazes you, the complaints you probably, your office probably gets.
Regarding Holden Center, that has been abated. The biggest complaint, even during a time when we were almost top of the nation for suicides and whatever, I didn't get too many because many of the suicides came from outside of my constituent district.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's people who might have been jailed on DWI and because they had never been arrested and because they probably saw shame in that, they chose a route that that they should not have taken. So even though the highest, when the holding center was highly criticized from a governmental and federal level as well as the organizations such as Prison People Too, I didn't get too many calls at that time either.
Isn't that something?
I got very few calls regarding the holding center.
I'm amazed at because I would have thought you'd got a ton of, because I know that your office is pretty busy.
Yeah, we are. Mainly our calls, I would say the biggest call, our calls we get are city issues that I am not over, but they feel frustrated to come to me. And the biggest one is probably housing rehabilitation. How can they get their roof fixed? How can they get a new furnace? How can they get the...
But wouldn't that be kind of like, well, I don't know, maybe the county does too, but I would think that that would be something that the city ought to be worried about.
Yeah, the city, these are city issues, but see, people don't recognize the fact because I'm so accessible and I have my cell phone number all places. When they call me city resident, they're not sure what I do because I'm all over the place. And I do talk about issues that's not under county domain. So when they have a problem, like the garbage hasn't been picked up, instead of calling a district council member,
they're calling
me.
You know, that would seem to me that would make a lot of the city representatives ashamed. They ought to be embarrassed that they have to, that their constituents have to call you in order to get anyone to listen to their complaints.
Right. Well, I do. I give them two ways. Tell them, you know, what they need to do, and then I refer them as a backup to call their district council member, and I be sure I know their council member number, so I refer the call to the proper situation. And then the next time when they have a problem, they know that it's city-related, they will call the district person, or they'll call me and be reassured that I'm going to make sure the district council member
I would still say that should make a lot of our city councilmen embarrassed. They ought to be embarrassed that their constituents have to call somebody else in order to get, if nothing else, but an ear.
Well, you know what? Whether they're embarrassed or not, I don't know, but I know that they're appreciative when I do call and tell them that their constituents call me and I refer them to, you know, to the proper place and the proper authority.
Well, at least that they have, I'm grateful that they at least have the wherewithal and the good manners at least to call and thank you.
Yeah, you know, I got good relations with all the council members. You know, I do work with all of them. You know, and course, you know, sometimes that's not, you know, reciprocated, but that's not on me. And so when there's something that I can help be helpful for a consistent, regardless of where they live in Buffalo, I do make the call to them, and I call their the councilman legislative assistant, tell them that this person called, they have this concern, I took care of it, but you may want to follow up. So a lot of times they do, and they do say thank you, so they are appreciative.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, you know, that they're just and not saying anything, because I would imagine that that is a one big service that you're doing for them. But it still is amazing to me that we in fact, I think this was brought up at one other time. I was talking about something or that a meeting I went to with a woman, Ronnie Hemphill Nichols. Yeah, and she was talking about, I think we were talking about education. And I'm saying it just means that people are not really aware about their city government. This is when, well, we didn't do it this year, but I have been for the last 5 years doing a program with high school seniors called Civics. And so many people really don't know, they don't know their government.
You know, you're absolutely correct.
And now, you know, yeah, because they should know who governs you in the city. And I said, you know, who is the chief executive officer of the city of Buffalo? Well, it's Byron Brown. You know, who's the chief executive officer of Erie County? Well, it's Mark Poloncarz, who's the chief executive of the state of New York. Well, it's Mr. Cuomo. You know, and who's the chief executive of the United States? It's Barack Obama.
You know, but, I think they know that, Mary. What they don't know is the legislative branch of government.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know when they should call their council members.
Or who they are, even.
Call the legislative, when they should call the state representative, when they should call the federal government.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I think we need to have more civic classes. Because
in school, because when I was in school eons ago, but, you know, we were taught civics.
Right. I don't know how much they teach now, but then again, if you're not voting, if you're not listening to what people's issues are, and from attending forums and attending, you know, debates, you can find out what the person who's running for office and trying to get your vote, what he's responsible for. So, you know, that's why I get the calls about infrastructure in the city of Buffalo, which is clearly under the council member purview, and I don't get the calls as much as I should of quality of life issues like food stamp, WIC, Medicaid, daycare subsidies. These are the holding center. These are under the county domain. And then when you talk about workers' compensation, you talk about retirement, then you got to go to the state representative. And then if you want to talk about, you know, some type of federal level, that's under Brian Higgins. So I get many of my calls. I get more calls dealing from state issues and city issues than I get for county issues. That's one thing.
Because people know you, they don't know who to turn to. Oh, right. Betty Jean Grant, she'll give us a call back.
Absolutely.
And this is something that bothers me a lot when we, and I can imagine what all the problems that they're having now in the with the Board of Education. You probably get a lot of calls concerning that as well.
You know what? I don't really, and I think that's unfortunate. I wish I did, then I know the parents are concerned and involved. In fact, I don't get those calls by education. In fact, when seeing the education, that system's collapsing, collapsing all around us and them, we don't get those calls. So that's my biggest concern. I wish I did get those calls from education. And I would tell them, get involved in your child's education. Be sure that, you know, you do the, you're doing the right thing at home. And be sure that school's doing the right thing when while they're in school. So I wish I did get more calls regarding education, but I don't.
That's something else, because the last meeting I was at where you were one of the speakers, and that was basically about gentrification in the Fruit Belt District, which is an older district. I mean, the Fruit Belt District has been around certainly since the early 20th century. You know, there, and I'm sure that there have been minority people living in the Fruit Belt District in the 30s and 40s and maybe even in the
the 20s. Well, Mary, that area, it was probably about German and other ethnic group, but further down Broadway near Michigan, that was the heart of the African American community when they had 500 families here in Buffalo, and it was, you know, in the late early 19th century, around 1850 to 1880. So that area has always been home to the African American. That's where the base was centralized, and that's where it expanded.
Because my mother used to tell me about Vine Street, which was Vine Street at one time was at the end of Michigan Avenue. My mother used to tell me when she was a schoolgirl, oh, Vine Street. And I was in Vine. She said, yeah, that's where Michigan, used to be the end of Michigan Avenue. It was called Vine Street. And I said, my God, you know, you're right on that score. But what I was listening to and what really amazes me, and I don't know if this is the same because I've really only started becoming to my own, I hate to admit this, really started paying a whole lot of attention to what's going on in the city, as I was always more of a nationalist or an internationalist. And that is attending a lot of meetings that take place in the city and seeing the absence of people who represent these districts. And rather than, because if they're represented from the state or the federal government or the county, the people in these various different areas are voting for you. You're in some district, whether it's the city, the county, the state, or the federal district. You're in some voting district for all of these things. And I was just amazed when this last meeting, that's such a big thing. I mean, this whole thing with this money coming into Buffalo and what they're building and not building, who's getting money, who's not getting, who's being neglected and who's being cared for. And there was only one public official there, and that was you. Well, where were these other people?
And I think people tend to say that, you know, Betty G. Grant hold a meeting. She felt she'd hold a meeting. That's on her to hold this meeting. I choose not to. I won't go nowhere. I attend or send somebody as attendant. Because I've always been an inquisitive kind of legislator. Because I've always been interactive and proactive. I would go to other people.
Well, we're glad that you are inquisitive. To tell you the truth.
Assembly person Peter Stokes had one at Delavan Grider Community Center.
Was that only nine people there?
Pardon?
Was that the one that I understand that there was this last meeting that the assemblywoman called? There was only nine people there.
No. That's a misunderstanding. That place was full. It was a town hall meeting regarding education, and she did talk about the mayor take over schools. There were about nine, maybe 15 African-American, but the meeting was predominantly attended by those teachers in Buffalo Public Schools who had concerns about the mayoral takeover, and also the parent-teacher, Buffalo Parents Teacher Organization, a newly formed parent group. They was there in force.
Which doesn't get the attention that the Mr. Radford's group get.
Maybe about 50. But there was largely made up of Buffalo Public School teachers and the parents of Buffalo Public School children.
Well, there must have been some other meeting that they were telling me about, because I haven't really heard of that many meetings that the assemblywoman has called here. You know, maybe she hasn't. I just haven't heard of them. But usually, I know you give meetings. You have some kind of meeting going on about once a month.
You know, everybody got their different style. I'm not going to criticize her style of making sure
I'm just
her,
talking about the number.
Public informed. But what I'm saying is me, I choose to be, because of a legislative assistant, and I didn't go into politics, being elected in office, I went into working for an office holder. So I know you have to do the
grass X, Y, and Z
networking. And so, make a long story short, I believe in getting people the information
that they're asking for,
and make them make decisions in their own lives. Because if we do that, then it's empowering them. And we should be empowering the residents. We should be informing, educating, and empowering them so they can make the decision.
Choice,
and based on fact, not on hearsay.
Right. I think that's a very good thing to do. I suppose I said that because now we hear of all these town meetings because, you know, we're going into a presidential election year, and everybody and their brother who's running for anything is holding some kind of meetings. But it always seemed to me that in no matter what district you're in, as far as who you represent, that wouldn't it be better if you at least were required, maybe not required, you're probably not required to do anything once you're elected, but wouldn't it behoove you maybe to have some kind of contact with your constituents maybe on a monthly basis?
Well, I have bi-weekly, I mean bi-monthly, I do it every other week, so I, for me, I can't say it works for other people, and these people who you're referring to are being reelected and reelected and reelected. So maybe the constituent accept that type of...
Or maybe they just don't know.
Maybe. But me, I always think that a learned person who has really know how government works, how it can work for them, how they can advocate, and how can depend on themselves advocating just in case elected official who they rely on is no longer there, they will have the empowerment to do it themselves. So what I try to do is not to do it for a person, but to tell him what needs to be done, how he can do it himself. And then this time I'll do it for him, but next time I would expect him to call me for a concern he had last month, when I told him last month how to resolve it.
Yeah, that's something there too. Well, you're running, you have already announced your candidacy for 2016, is that right?
Yes.
Do you have an opponent?
No, 2015.
2015. Oh, it's going to be in November?
Yeah, officially this year.
This year. So that election will be taking place just for the Erie County Legislature. I don't think the state is, and I don't think the city.
No, the state is next year. The state is next year. The federal government's next year for the congressperson. And this year will be all the council members. In Buffalo and all the legislators in Erie County.
So that's going to take place in November is when the election would be, is that it?
There are primaries. There will be probably primaries in September.
Do you have an idea of who your opponent will be?
Pardon me?
Is there anyone announced other than you?
No. They just don't generally announce on a history of running for office for for the county the last seven terms. I'm sorry, four terms, the last 8 years. They don't announce. They generally would start circulating petitions, which starts June 2nd this year, starting early this year, starting mm-hmm. next week.
Mm-hmm.
So then, you know, based on the chatter out there in the street
mm-hmm.
and them going door to door getting petitions, I'm mm-hmm. sure if I have an opponent,
mm-hmm.
it would come out then.
It would come out then. What
yes.
are some of the things on your platform? What are some of the issues you're running on?
What issue, you know, my county issue is making sure that $1 billion come from the state is spent in the city of Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
Even though Buffalo does not get block grant money from Erie County,
mm-hmm.
the state money that came in, $1 billion, was generated through all our involvement, all our taxpayer.
Mm-hmm.
So people say, well, why are you talking about state issue? You're a county legislator.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I'm a county legislator who represents the city of Buffalo,
mm-hmm.
and the city of Buffalo residents feel that they have been not involved, included in this $1 billion conversation. And
yeah, but a lot of people officials, though, Betty Jean, are also getting their votes out of the city of Buffalo. I mean, most of them, if it wasn't for people voting in the city of Buffalo, several of these assembly and senate people wouldn't be elected at all.
Right.
What are they talking about?
Well, I'm just saying the, mm-hmm. the people who you just probably just named feel that I got my hand in too many
mm-hmm.
different issues, and I should stick to a county issue. Well,
but your district is in the city of Buffalo. How can you ignore Buffalo?
Well, that they probably hope that I did, but
mm-hmm.
you know, but I don't really pay them never mind, because I, you know, people ask me these questions of money not being spent correctly,
mm-hmm.
and I say, you know, I believe that $1 billion could have came with a little more meetings before it was allocated here, designated,
mm-hmm.
and then somebody should have looked out for the community. Neighborhoods.
Who was electing them? This, I guess my point is there is not a person in the assembly whose main district is in Buffalo is not getting votes out of Buffalo, and many of them get votes out of some major districts in Buffalo, like Maston and Fillmore and Ellicott.
Mm.
You know, that a lot of this is where their votes come from, and I would dare say that even the mayor should stop to think about that. That if it wasn't for these districts voting, he would not be in City Hall.
Yeah, but you know what? But like I said before, I'm concentrating on Betty Jean Grant
mm-hmm.
and what I can do to speak, to bring issue to the forefront
mm-hmm.
of when I believe that my constituency has been left out, disrespected. I'm not to criticize any elected official, because if they can get elected with the numbers that they're getting elected with,
mm-hmm.
and by them being unopposed most instances,
mm-hmm.
then the people must be happy with their representation.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're happy with the representation, it behooves me to be here criticizing that representation when the people who elected them don't criticize or don't complain.
I don't agree with you quite on that. I think, as we touched on before, I think a lot of that has to do with education and apathy that voters have, because a lot of times the number of people voting is down. And I think it's a lot of apathy, and people just figure, well, nothing's going to happen anyway. So I don't think it's so much satisfaction as people have just kind of given up.
It is a willingness not to criticize, because you think if you criticize, you might not get something that you're trying to get. So they do the complaining to me, and they do the complaining, and I say, you know, I'm not responsible for that part of government. Call your elected official. And so when you tell them to call the person who's directly responsible, you can see there's a willingness and unwillingness to do that.
Well, they probably figure that nothing's going to happen anyway, because I've talked to many people, and I don't know about you. I'm not speaking for you now. I'm speaking just for me. When I talk to a lot of people, when people talk to me off the record a lot,
mm-hmm.
there's a big unhappiness with many people in city government, from the mayor's office on down.
But the unhappiness is there, but does the
unhappiness? Is what
but
I'm
do
saying.
They convey the unhappiness to that person who directly responsible? Do they?
They direct it by not voting. Is what they do. They don't come out to vote.
Oh, okay.
They vote with their feet, basically. And the feet usually just stay at home.
But me, I, you know, if you don't vote, then who are you hurting?
Mm-hmm.
The person who you don't want in that office is still in that office.
Mm-hmm.
And you have not changed anything. If you're not happy, then you vote for change. Because not voting.
Doesn't that come back to education, what we were talking about? Doesn't that come back to education? That the apathy that voters have sometimes has to be meant with education and telling people, mm-hmm. this is what you got. We know you're unhappy, but this is how you have to put your unhappiness to work.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, I always say, you know, if you are not voting, then you're voting for the person who's in an office.
Well, you were saying if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem.
Right.
And that's basically what you're saying. You know, and I could not agree more. But you say that part of your issues that you're going to be running on this year, what, like, could you name me three, first, second, and third?
Mainly, I know Erie County has, you know, some investment in workforce investment, and that's, you know, putting people to work. I'm mm-hmm. trying to see if we can get some of that resources to the...
So that was part of what the rally was about last Saturday when you talked about work. So one of your priorities then on one of your issues is going to be employment?
I'm sorry, we're talking. I didn't hear you.
Oh, I said that's what we talked about earlier, that the rally was for last Saturday. One of the issues there was employment.
Well, the rally was really planned right after Baltimore mm-hmm. disturbances happened. And mm-hmm. we wanted to say, what if the same thing happens in Buffalo? You know, Buffalo mm-hmm. has similar demographic to Baltimore, high unemployment, mm-hmm. high level of youth dropping out of school, mm-hmm. Untrained, high level of drug activity, mm-hmm. and a sort of confrontational relationship between the police and the citizen. Mm-hmm. And so I saw Buffalo, you know, just in case something similar happened in Buffalo, whereas the Freddie Gray incident happened in Buffalo, mm-hmm. Buffalo might have reacted the same way, and I didn't want Buffalo to react the same way. You can be outraged and indignant, but you don't have to burn your city down. Mm-hmm. So we try to say, what happens, you know, worst-case scenario, it happened in Buffalo. Will we wait 2 days to respond, to put a plan in action, or will we be talking about it now? Mm-hmm. So that's why it was critical for me to have the Buffalo Peacemakers, those anti-violence coalitions there, mm-hmm. to say what they would do in case something happens. So we know now that if something jumps out, they would be at the forefront quick and early instead of waiting until the situation becomes combative, that people start getting arrested or if people start burning down our town. I think Buffalo has suffered at least a major riot in the 1960s mm-hmm. that we never recovered from. We still haven't recovered from. That's why Jefferson looked the way it is, because I think directly as a result of that riot. Mm-hmm. So what we're trying to do is saying that if something happens, the last thing we want is them to burn down our neighborhood, burn down our houses, and burn down our businesses. Mm-hmm. And I know you have to have a way of venting frustrations. We also had to recognize the fact, too, that if you burn down east side of Buffalo, you're not hurting those who you got a problem with in the little least of way. Mm-hmm. What you're doing is hurting the person who made an investment in a house or a business, who struggled, who's got the life savings and these things, and you burn it down. And these individuals, including myself, who run a business, mm-hmm. don't have the resource to rebuild. So if you burn it down, it probably stay burned down, mm-hmm. create another problem in our community in addition to the problem that drove you to these riots and these disturbances in mm-hmm. the first place. So the rally was at the Niagara Square, and I was mm-hmm. very much to see a very diverse crowd. I'm proud to say that we had almost an even mixture of African-American mm-hmm. and those of other ethnicity, mm-hmm. Including European, who were mm-hmm. there supporting and trying to come together. Mm-hmm. So I thought there'd be more people there. We had maybe about a couple hundred. I was asking, mm-hmm. shooting for maybe 400 or 500. Mm-hmm. But I know that people tend not to organize or to protest unless something directly happened. They're not... Mm-hmm. that really in tune with proactive preventative mm-hmm. initiative, and that's something we got to talk about.
Well, let me mention this to you. It seemed to me, I'm thinking of the titles of that rally. You were talking about employment, you were talking about education, you mentioned, I believe there was something about gentrification maybe in there, and certainly community relations. So aren't these things that just about every public official should be interested, not just you, but all of them?
Yeah, you know what? They should be, and it's up to their constituent to let them go. I'm very uncomfortable criticizing another elected official. Because
I'm not asking you to criticize. I'm just merely saying, aren't these issues that all of them, all of you should be interested in?
If I didn't vote for the elected official, then I'm not complaining. I complain when I didn't vote for him. Mm-hmm. But if I did vote for that elected official and he's not performing the way I think he should, then I'm going to him directly. You know, I don't need another elected official telling me the person who I don't think represented me well is doing a good job or a bad job. That's on me to do that. And I think that's what the community needs to do.
Well, I'm not saying whether you're doing a good job or not. I'm saying that the issues that the rally was about employment,
was about education.
It seemed that these are issues not only in, certainly in the city of Buffalo, that all people who represent the city of Buffalo should be interested in, no matter what district they're from. These are kind of like universal issues in Buffalo.
Absolutely. And I think that's why we had that diverse crowd there. Elected officials, did they come? They probably maybe would have come if it hadn't been me helping to organize it. You know,
well, why is this thing with you? What is going on here with them? Is it because of your visibility? If you did not say anything at all and were very quiet and stayed in a corner someplace, you think that there would be you'd have less problems with elected officials?
Well, you know, I think the fact that I've been openly critical of some initiative that have come out of city government, have come out of city hall, I think because I've said that I don't agree with that, because I have publicly supported people other than those who are in that office right now.
Well, we're saying this is the Republican. Well, look what they're doing now on the national level. I mean, these politicians are criticizing all over and talking about each other, what they're doing, what they're not doing.
I think because people, those elected officials who I have a working relationship with probably felt that I had no right to criticize something that they are doing or not doing, like the allocation of $1 billion, because I didn't bring it here to Buffalo, that I was not part of bringing it here. But I know that I pay taxes every year, Mary. I pay my taxes, and if money come here, if anybody money, it's
but
fine.
How people could criticize? I never really heard you criticizing anybody. I don't understand what their problem is.
Well, maybe because I'm holding meetings, and they don't believe I should be holding meetings. I'm not really sure, but you
but
know,
that's part of your job. That's part of your job.
But it goes back to me not being a grassroots member. That's go to the root of the problem. I used to being around the. I'm not a member of grassroots.
You used to be. Weren't you there when the founding? You were probably there when it was founded.
Right, but I'm not a member right now. And most people who are in office right now, people of color, are from the grassroots organization. So they see me as an outsider. And then when I try to mobilize them around the issue needs of the community, they don't participate. But I can only ask, I can only invite. If they feel it's not worth them coming, then that's something they need to discuss with their constituent on why they're not there, why they're not helping, or why they're not supporting the initiative that I believe that they should be.
I guess that's where I have a falling out of understanding. Because to me, if it involves this community, we should all be interested in it, no matter who. I have problems with a lot of different people in public office and different other things. But it's kind of like I tell people a lot of times when Art E was very active. And Art E could be something else, as we all know. Art E even tried to get me fired from a job. But my concern is he was doing a lot for his community. He was a fighter for his people. It didn't matter to me if he spoke to me or disliked me. It didn't matter if I didn't speak to him and disliked him. That, to me, was second. The thing that's important is he was there doing a job, and I appreciate the job he was doing, and I felt I was doing a job by talking about what I was doing. It's not personal with me. I can understand why this. It seems to me that when you talk about these things that are happening with these various grassroots, anyone else, it's personal. You know, that to me, that's not good politics. I mean, if you're representing a group of people, there might be people in that group that you may personally not like. Maybe they got bad breath. You know, who knows? But that has nothing to do with what they may or may not be doing for their community, which to me is the bottom line. I don't care if you like me or not.
You know, I'm sure that you do. I don't care you like me or not, but at least if I'm talking about something that's going to benefit my constituent, and if they're your constituent as well, and we can work together.
That's what I'm talking about. This is what I'm talking about, Betty Jean. What does that personality have to do with when you are fighting for essentially people who live in this community, who you all represent to some degree or another, whether you represent them at the city level, the county level, the state level, or the federal level? You are, and, you know, so this thing about these personality things or who's going to control seems to me to be a lot of petty crap.
Yeah, and it's going to continue to be there. What I try to do, Mary, is you know that I have a goal, what I'm trying to do, make sure that people know what that goal or those goals or objectives are, and I try to achieve them. If I can achieve them with the support of the my colleagues in government, I'm going to ask for their support. If they deny that support, then I'm going to try to move on and do the best I can without their support.
Because it seemed to me, with just a few meetings that I went to, and the one the last time where you were the only elected official even there, and I looked around, that was a very diverse crowd, from African-American people to Caucasian people to Native American people to Latino people, all sitting in that group. And it seemed to me as a lot of what's happening in a lot of these different areas and groups, people are beginning to walk past elected officials. When I'm looking around at all these different groups and these meetings are forming up, many of them are pretty strong. Just like Miss Nichols, when she fought off the taking over of the Macaulay Gardens. You know, this was something that was almost happening on people in that area's kitchen tables.
Right, you know, and I'm just so happy that she's for the forefront. I'm happy that people are in community of power. That's why I formed the We Are Women Warriors group, because mm-hmm. our mission is not to take over, not to speak on but our group is to empower. You know, mm-hmm. our whole thing is family, community, empowerment, and education.
Mm-hmm.
So our goal is to have people like Veronica Nichols, Hemphill,
mm-hmm.
to get educated about the issues out there, and she has done that,
mm-hmm.
and to empower her that when she needs a platform, she can come to the Meriwether Library
mm-hmm.
and host a meeting under We Are Women Warriors umbrella.
Well, and this is what I'm saying. It seemed to me as though that official should be noticing this, that a lot of people who at some of these meetings, I haven't attended all of them, but the ones that I have, I noticed people there who are representing different groups. They seem to be moving past a lot of elected officials. When this is going on, that means that people are beginning to organize, quote, in the street.
I think not moving past, we still need elected officials to vote for these initiatives to bring the resources to Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
What they're doing is becoming informed about the issues out there, not accepting from their elected official that there is no hope, that nothing can be done.
Mm-hmm.
What they're doing is empowering them by changing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because of the involvement of Veronica Nichols, the initiative, the elected official supported almost 100% with the exception of me,
mm-hmm.
and maybe a few others, was the UB 2020 plan that put in place the purchase of Macaulay Garden.
Mm-hmm.
Had it not been for that group of Veronica Nichols and others,
mm-hmm.
that Macaulay Garden probably would have been sold,
mm-hmm.
and you would have probably redeveloped there for people coming in to work
mm-hmm.
at the medical corridor, or you might have an empty lot where they're going to build over it. So the community is becoming involved. I also went to two meetings, and they talk about participatory budgeting,
mm-hmm.
whereas before the city released a budget or the county or the state government, they would have a group of people coming in looking at that budget, seeing what is in there, what needs to be in there, and then lobbying for the elected official who's in charge to change it, to
mm-hmm.
include it. So that's another thing I think. People become more educated.
Mm-hmm.
They're becoming more of an advocate and also becoming more of a fighter, saying, you mm-hmm. don't know what's best for us. We know what's best for us, because a politician mm-hmm. of the whole, and I never forget a politician said that almost 14 years ago,
mm-hmm.
I speak for the masses that elected me.
Mm-hmm.
They elected me to speak for them. They don't know what they want, so therefore I have to speak for these masses of people.
That's the most arrogant remark I've heard, and I don't know when.
Well, see, that was a mindset of politicians, not politicians, but a certain politician, you know, so many years
mm-hmm.
back.
Mm-hmm.
And that shocked me so badly that I never forget that. And I said, no, they elect you to represent them, to bring their concerns
mm-hmm.
to the forefront.
Mm-hmm.
They elect you to be the advocate, not mm-hmm. the dictator, but the advocate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They were not looking for a savior, in short. They were looking for somebody who would understand them and fight for their interests. That's why they elected him. Him or her.
Who can go into those power, those mm-hmm. chambers of power and vote for it. You know,
mm-hmm.
the average resident cannot vote in the common council meeting. In fact, mm-hmm. none of them can vote in the mm-hmm. common council meeting unless you're a resident and elected official. So
mm-hmm.
we put you in place to carry our wishes, not yours.
Mm-hmm.
Now you determine that should go somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And we expect you to have meetings in the community to find out what we as a collective body and majority want.
Mm-hmm.
What do we want? And then you bring that to city hall or county hall or state government or federal government, and you mm-hmm. vote what we want based on our input.
For those of you just joining us this morning, my guest for the hour has been, or is now, Betty Jean Grant, and she is the Erie County Legislature. She represents the 2nd District, I believe. Is that right, Betty?
Yes, the second legislative district.
And she is also the minority leader of the Erie County Legislature. There are only two minority people in the Erie County Legislature. One is the Honorable Betty Jean Grant, and the other one is the Honorable Barbara Miller Williams. They are the only two that are in the Erie County Legislature. And we have been talking with her this morning. Betty Jean, what else are you up to? You know, what groups are going on, and what's doing what, when, and
well,
where?
Well, Mary, we have an the Gus Macker, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
Some of our elected officials made a decision, I think it very wrongly, to take Gus Macker tournaments out of Buffalo, out of downtown Buffalo.
I was wondering about that. When it struck me as pretty odd. Why would you, Macker have been down there for years?
Gus Macker has been in Buffalo 25 years, and it was taken out of Buffalo because the agency that oversaw it, the PAL League,
mm-hmm.
And the city administration, chose not to have in Buffalo because concern, I guess, about fighting, that there had been a couple of fights down there, and that there was some.
There's been fights in Ralph Wilson Stadium. Some of these people out there on those trailer parties that happen out at football games. How many fights haven't been out there over on them?
I'm not sure because I don't follow that.
Yeah, but I'm talking about.
I might leave in a few minutes. I got to take my Gus Macker.
Uh huh.
So they decided they didn't want it downtown because of the fights and potential fights that it might be negative. So they chose not to renew the contract, which is a yearly contract with Gus Macker. And what happened was Darien Lake took it. But Darien Lake probably anticipated that many people from the inner city would be unable to go due to transportation issues, so they wind up having 100 less teams playing mm-hmm. than the year before. And also the people who went to Darien Lake, some of them stayed home because they didn't want to be involved with the basketball crowd, for lack of a better word. I'll be mm-hmm. very sensitive. Mm-hmm. So they wound up losing money. So then when time to renew it, Darien Lake said no thank you.
Mm-hmm.
They came back to the city of Buffalo to see if the city was interested in taking it back again. Mm-hmm. The city said no. So a gentleman from Grand Island, Corey McGowan, who has a production company to bring in Taste of Niagara Falls and a Taste of Grand Island,
mm-hmm.
similar to the Taste in Buffalo,
mm-hmm.
Decided he's going to lobby the Grand Island Chamber of Commerce to hold the games in Grand Island for 2015.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was a one-man operation, more or less. He was able to secure the games, and they are in Grand Island for this year.
Mm-hmm.
He signed a 3-year contract, but anybody can have a Gus Macker game by signing a contract.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happened was, so instead of us losing that Gus Macker, which I'm highly upset,
mm-hmm.
we decided we're going to sponsor and hold maybe summer tournament. Won't be called Gus Macker, but it'd be similar, maybe all across Buffalo. So next year, when it's time to sign a contract, the city might be in a better position or more thoughtful towards recreation that impacts a lot on the east side of Buffalo, that it would sign a contract.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not going to be running up and down the thruway, running up and down through a toll booth, trying to take these youth to Grand Island
mm-hmm.
when, number one, there's logistics. It's only one way in, one way out.
Mm-hmm.
If anything were to happen, I hope that it does never happens. But mm-hmm. in case it does, because I think ahead of the thing, we might have a situation where something that could have been contained in Buffalo
mm-hmm.
and maintained, because we got the Anti-Violence Coalition speaking mm-hmm. and working with our youth as a buffer between the police and the youth,
mm-hmm.
it might not be the situation in Grand Island. We don't know whether the peacemakers will be welcome in Grand Island. We don't know whether the police will feel that you interfere in the police business. We handle it ourselves. We don't know that. We know in Buffalo, the Buffalo police welcomes the peacemakers.
Mm-hmm.
They welcome the Anti-Violence Coalition because
mm-hmm.
they know that these kids come from these peacemakers' neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
They come from these peacemakers' families,
mm-hmm.
and they're known by the peacemakers. So, you know, you acting up, you know, Mary Holman and others can tell you, and Dwayne Ferguson,
mm-hmm.
hey, dude, stop that. We know you. We
mm-hmm.
know where you live. We're
mm-hmm.
going to go get your mama, okay,
mm-hmm.
or daddy. So
mm-hmm.
we are trying to keep the viability of inner-city basketball
mm-hmm.
in Buffalo this year by meeting and strategizing and organizing. So our meeting mm-hmm. going to be held Wednesday, June 3rd, next Wednesday,
mm-hmm.
June 3rd, at the Merriwood Library. We're inviting mm-hmm. all clergy, all basketball coaches, all individual who feels mm-hmm. that Gus Macker never should have been taken out of Buffalo, mm-hmm. who wants to see it return, mm-hmm. or a similar type of situation of tournament return, to be at the meeting. So we're having a planning and strategy meetings to see how we can find the resources to get a sponsor for mm-hmm. the basketball tournaments, to get locations or a central location, and also apply as a committee to have the Gus Macker game in Buffalo next year.
Well, you know, what strikes me out of what you said earlier, but if you're associated with this, isn't this going to mean that as far as the city administration or some other people, I'm not going to name names, there's probably many I know and many I don't, isn't that going to be a detriment to say, oh, that woman is involved in it, and that's the end of that?
Yeah, they would say that woman's involved in it, but that woman has lobbied other people to come who feel as the same as I do, mm-hmm. that it's bad to take them out of Buffalo. Mm-hmm. So they might not necessarily gravitate towards me, but we got people like Pastor Anthony Brown, the Back to Basics group. Mm-hmm. We got the Stop the Violence Coalitions. We got mm-hmm. all the anti-violence coalition who know that there's a place in Buffalo for basketball. If you can build 5 amateur hockey rinks in Buffalo, you can promote ice skating in the wintertime, mm-hmm. have people from suburbs come to Buffalo to play. If you can have pond hockey, if you can have football, and you can have all this stuff mm-hmm. and carnival in Buffalo, attracting people outside of Buffalo, mm-hmm. then Buffalo has not been designated anti-basketball. Mm-hmm. Certain individuals who don't want to see basketball, because basketball generate in their mind those type of people. I'm just going to mm-hmm. be plain simple mm-hmm. that you have said that downtown Niagara Square has gotten too good, mm-hmm. gotten too good and too elite for. And I got an article in the Challenger mm-hmm. talking about this. Mm-hmm. So we're saying if you can promote hockey, you can promote football, you can promote ice skating, you can promote these activities mm-hmm. that is not that big on the east side of Buffalo, mm-hmm. then why are you taking out the biggest game that people on the east side play, our youth, and it's basketball?
It'd be because, and let's just say, it could simply be because of the people that they think play basketball are all dark-hued, or all maybe African-Americans or Latinos or something else.
Well, if you look at any basketball game, Mary, you know who's predominant mm-hmm. Ethnic group in basketball. Mm-hmm. And as it is in college or professional football, mm-hmm. it is the same for the neighborhood basketball teams as well. Mm-hmm. So we're saying, you know what, Buffalo might be growing, but Buffalo cannot grow to be too good to allow basketball, neighborhood basketball, street-level basketball mm-hmm. in the city of Buffalo.
It was always kind of fun. I thought
the three-on-three
three thing.
Grand Island to mm-hmm. play basketball. That's an enrage. That's an insult. Mm-hmm. Tell you can only play basketball if you go outside of Buffalo. Mm-hmm. Now, how insensitive, how anti-people is that?
Mm-hmm. Well, I certainly hope that you are successful. So this meeting is coming up on the 3rd. June 3rd.
It's coming on June 3rd at 5:30 in Merriwell Library. If you have a team, you want to play on a team, mm-hmm. or you can coach on a team, or you can donate money to help sustain a team, mm-hmm. please come to the meeting.
And what day of the week is that?
That's on a Wednesday.
On
Women Wednesday. Warriors mm-hmm. meet every first and third Wednesday. There's a first mm-hmm. Wednesday in June mm-hmm. at the Merriwell Library.
I got to try and get down. I haven't been down to a meeting for a while.
602-5877.
You want to repeat that number for us?
602-5877.
And that is about the Gus Macker basketball
tournament. Tournament that's been relocated first to Darien Lake, now to Grand Island. We're trying to get them back in Buffalo for next year. But this year we're going to have basketball because, you know what, the school's going to be out. Our youth have been used to playing street-level pickup basketball. Mm-hmm. They've been used to participating in Gus Macker for 24 years, mm-hmm. Not including last year. So we're going to make sure there's some kind of basketball tournament for them this year mm-hmm. in their city.
Well, I'm thank you
if
for that.
If the city's good enough, a visitor come in to play sport, organize sport, mm-hmm. it has not become too good for us who live here, who pay taxes here, who supported Buffalo, and Buffalo wasn't on the move. Mm-hmm. We stayed and we supported. It is time for us to be enriched and also be included as everybody else.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad you gave us that information. We've been talking this morning with the Honorable Betty Jean Grant, and I hope you can attend that meeting on June the 3rd in Buffalo at the Buffalo the Library on the corner of Jefferson and East Utica, and hope that you can get down into that. Because I didn't know this was going on, so I found out something new today, too. Thank you for being my guest this morning.
You're welcome, Mary.
And I know we'll be talking to you, and good luck in your, when it can, the petition drives and things get going.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right. You have a wonderful day.
Too.
You've been listening to The Mary Davis Show. If you have any comments or suggestions, please write to Mary Davis, 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Amherst, New York, 14226.